You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702.
So this is where we pick an important issue to discuss with a panel, and our discussions are always based on a question, right? What I'm asking you today is enough being done to prioritize athletes' mental health? And not only when it comes to teams and their management and sporting organizations, but to us as fans as well. And what can be done by all stakeholders to ease the pressure and ensure athletes' mental well-being? Conversations regarding mental health in sports have multiplied as a result of more athletes raising the alarm about their mental health. You may have seen just this week, Springbok, Sbu Nkosi, saying that mental pressure of being involved in professional rugby led to him going AWOL for 3 weeks, resulting in him being reported missing by his club, Bulls. You know, this is the man who was part of the squad that lifted the Rugby World Cup in 2019. He says he's been battling mental pressure for some time, and it's all caught up with him now, he says. And he's not the first person to speak out about mental health challenges, right? Remember US Olympic gold medal gymnast Simone Biles, the tennis champion Naomi Osaka, yeah, the swimmer Michael. These are some of the prominent athletes who have shared their experiences of mental health problems. Roger Federer as well has spoken about the stress of professional tennis. And the thing is, as a sports athlete, there's just this superficial expectation to always perform at your best. You've got to win. You've got to outdo your opponent, right? That accompanied by the pressure of social media for high-profile athletes and the reality that your career might actually be cut short from an injury or your age. Then there's just the pressure of life, Jay, generally. Online trolling, the pressure of athletes from the coaches, from the sponsors, from the media. And you know, in order to perform at your best physically, you've got to be in a healthy mental state, right? So is enough being done? Is what I'm asking you to prioritize mental health. Like things like vulnerability, are they encouraged? Because in sports, you are trained to be this tough, unbreakable person. So maybe that language used in sports also needs to change. Give me your thoughts on 011-883-0702. You can send me your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. And also, tell me what you can do as a fan, right? From your perspective, because the expectations we have of sportsmen, sportswomen is a lot. And when they are losing the game, when they're losing that match, they're not only disappointing themselves, some of them, they feel they're disappointing thousands, sometimes millions of supporters. And I wonder if there's a way that we can support our sports stars so that they participate knowing they have our full support and confidence, whether they lose or they win. Doesn't mean we can't criticize them. Eh? You know, we can point out where they need to improve. But my goodness, can we just be nice about it? Giving them support, because as fans, sometimes we can be mean, we can be brutal. Let me introduce you to my guest, Dr. Kirsten van Heerden. He is a player development manager at the Sharks. Dr. van Heerden, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, and thank you so much for asking me to come and be on your show and talk about this very important topic.
Yeah. We also have Dr. Debbie Alexander, who's the second vice president, and head of High Performance Commission at SASCOC. Dr. Alexander, thank you for making time as well. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and thank you for the invitation and for starting this conversation, or for continuing it, because it started a while ago, but I really appreciate the fact that you're doing this on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, and Dr. Kitu Metsimashiro is a clinical and sports psychologist who's joining us via Zoom. Dr. Mashiro, thanks for your time as well.
Good morning, Clement, and thank you very much for bringing this topic and for having me on your show, and good morning to your listeners and to the other panelists.
Yeah, Dr. van Heerden, let's start with you, and maybe we can just, from the beginning, you can help us understand the kind of pressure that these sports stars have to endure, because it's not just physical pressure, but as we have seen, and thank goodness a lot of them are beginning to be comfortable to express themselves on this subject, the pressure can be mental as well.
No, absolutely. And I think Well, there are a number of things, but I think we have to also have this understanding there's a big difference between mental toughness and mental health. You know, they're overlapping but different concepts. But as you say, there's huge pressure. And, you know, we often say being an athlete is one of the few jobs in life that is incredibly public. As you said earlier, like, you know, everyone feels like they can criticize, they can comment on your performance in not a very nice way. You know, if I kind of mess up at work, maybe the person that I'm working with, the athlete, knows. But, you know, you drop a catch in cricket or you miss a tackle and all of a sudden the whole world knows. There's an incredible pressure for these players, and often very young players, to perform and, as you say, perform every day. On top of that, it is their people. They're not just athletes. And you said the normal pressures apply. And often it's made a little bit more challenging for athletes because they feel like they just do just have to tough it out. They can't always ask for help or feel like that they can't ask for help. Any sense of weakness, as you say, is frowned upon. So this very public nature of what they do, together with this feeling of, hey, I must just be tough, certainly just adds and adds to the pressure.
And Dr. Alexandra, are they, when did we start seeing, you know, sports stars, sportsmen and sportswomen starting to really be vulnerable and be honest about how they feel? Because for the longest time, you know, they've always have to meet the expectations of being tough, of being unbreakable, and being of being fighters. When did we start seeing them really come out and say, this is too much, and it's okay for me to feel I can't do this now?
Yes, I think social media has played a big role in helping some athletes who are brave enough to verbalize their challenges. But athletes have been seeking assistance way back in terms of managing their mental health, managing their pressure. So it's nothing new. It's just that now I think we're more aware of it. And when we were, you know, way back in 2009, when we were trying to put a psychology program together for SASCOC, and Kirsten is one of the people who's part of that program, people didn't want to hear us having these conversations about psychology for athletes, etc. It's taken a while. It's taken us from 2009 to the Tokyo Games to actually get a psychologist to go with the team. Although since then we've been providing services through the national federations to the coaches and, to the athletes and also through our OPEX program, but it's really taken a long time to change the mindset, because even coaches don't like psychologists to work with their athletes. So it's everybody to buy into it. And, I think that social media has been good, but it's also not been good in terms of the stigma that goes around mental health.
No, that's true. And Dr. Mashego, the thing about the sportsmen, sportswomen, is that in order to perform at your best physically, you've got to be in a healthy mental state, right? What cases do you often deal with? And do you think we're making progress? Do we have sporting organizations, teams that are now beginning to bring in psychologists to work with these athletes, and also just implementing changes to their policies that are already existing, so that the approach is different in how they are providing support to these athletes when it comes to mental health challenges?
Sadly, you know, Clement, I think as other speakers have spoken, that there's a lot of stigma around psychology generally in society. And there's still a lot of stigma regarding seeing a psychologist, especially as an athlete. I mean, even if you look at the South African Health Profession Council of South Africa, sports psychology is not even a registered category, right? So meaning that there is no master's program to train people to become sports psychologists. So we still have a long way to go generally. So what we do, for example, I'm a clinical psychologist and I have a special interest in sports psychology. So I've done extra certificates to actually, you know, qualify or have the ability or the expertise to work as a sports psychologist. But I feel like generally, you know, the poor athletes, you know, are the ones who are given the short end of the stick. Because when you perform, your body sometimes, for example, shuts down And what happens is your mind must carry you, right? When you're tired and your coach says to you, you still need to push.
Yeah.
When you're doing a 90 kilometer, your mind must carry you. Even the 400 meters, I'm a former 400 meter athlete. I always say to my athletes that I help that you always hit a wall. And what happens is your mind must carry you. So now you can imagine if you're in a bad state for whatever reason, because we're dealing with human beings, you know, it could be a trigger from childhood. It could be something that happened that morning. It could be the fans. It could be something someone wrote on social media.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to push through that and shut up the noise and zone out so that you do what you're supposed to do, it will not work.
Mm.
So I'm of view that each and every performing athlete actually needs to have their own, if possible, you know, sports psychologist, because how are we expecting them to survive in such a pressurized environment?
Yeah. Dr. Van Heerden, do we need to start looking at the language we often use in sports as well? I was asking earlier whether vulnerability is encouraged in the teams, because Dr. Mashego mentions that, you know, at some point you hit a wall and you need your mind to carry you. But sometimes as an athlete, when you say that, you know, your coach may say, "Aye, man, you are weak, just toughen up, you know, fight on." And that becomes too much. Do we need to start really looking at, you know, how we characterize who a successful athlete is? And for some reason, when you are feeling weak, when you are not mentally, you know, well, then for some reason we say you are weak and not strong enough.
No, absolutely. Language is incredibly important in this, as we know. And even when they use the word mental toughness earlier,
yeah,
you know, we try and almost move away from it and use the word mental flexibility rather, because you say toughness gives us the idea of just tough it out.
Yes.
You know, so we do, and this idea of vulnerability, and let me just say, it is getting better. And as Debbie mentioned earlier, the continued conversation, you know, the various different players' associations like my players, which is in rugby, soccer, which is in cricket, and certainly basketball as well, you know, with Olympic sports, there is this growing awareness that we need to be able to provide these services. But yeah, it's encouraging athletes, you say, to be vulnerable. And you're right, the language vulnerable doesn't mean weak. It actually takes sometimes huge amounts of courage and bravery and strength to come forward and say, "Hey, I'm really battling." And if I can also say the language thing earlier, the problem is for me as well, sometimes athletes can perform even when they have some mental health challenges. And this is the real struggle. And I always use the example of Michael Phelps, you know, most decorated Olympic athlete ever, but is very open about his struggles with mental health,
yeah,
and managed to win, you know, 20 gold medals. So it can paper over the cracks, you know, performance. And this is why it's so important, you're right, that we start using the correct language, or different language. We start encouraging the sense of vulnerability, which is, it is getting better. You know, it's still a long way to go, but it is getting better, so that we're not using performance as the indicator of mental health.
Yeah. And Dr. Alexander, the advent of social media, what is being encouraged, and what's the advice often given to the athletes? Is it best that they stay on social media? The other day I interviewed the Banyana Banyana coach, and she was telling me that, you know, you can't really tell, you know, the players to stay away from social media, because some of them actually get encouraging messages, and that builds up on their confidence. So where do you draw the line? Because the risk you run with that is, if I see a terrible post about me before I get on that pitch, it may affect me. And if I'm affected mentally, that may affect my output as well.
Yes. So, look, I think it's a choice. And I can tell you that I worked with an athlete prior to the Paralympic Games, and there were some comments on social media which were quite distressing for her. And she made the choice to actually not look at social media. So throughout the Games, she did not look at social media. And she came home with the medal. So very proud of her. But it's a choice that people make for themselves. And I think that's the key in how we manage these pressures.
Yeah. And Dr. Mashego, what do you think we can do as fans? Because this pressure is not only coming from the coaches, it's not only coming from the media, the sponsors, but it's coming from us as well, because we can really be brutal in our assessment of their performance. The things we say on social media when they lose the games, because for some reason we expect them to win all the time, as if that's possible. You know, the things we say can really be brutal. and tough on them. So as fans, as followers of these athletes, what can we do differently?
I think, you know, approaching people as human beings with flaws, with their own triggers, with their own baggage and personality is the first step. But I think, you know, as society, we don't always do that. We're not kind to the next person, especially when we have expectations of them. So I think we need to see them as human beings, that these people who are playing soccer, you know, playing whatever game that they are playing or doing what it is that they're doing as an elite athlete, that they are also human beings. They will have moments where they are not okay, and it's okay for them to, you know, be struggling with something. What we actually need to promote is for them to actually seek help, to have that self-awareness that, you know, when you're not doing okay, seek help. And I think that's the message as society that we need to promote to all human beings, that actually when you're not okay, it's okay not to be okay, and to actually seek help and be more vulnerable and to say, I'm struggling with this and I need help. And also to, you know, bringing in the coaches and the families that support the athletes, that to also sensitize them to the fact that you're dealing with human beings here, that some of them might be triggered. Mm. For example, if you tell them when you're coaching to say you're useless, and maybe this person was told they're useless as a child, and it triggers, you know, some sort of thing within that athlete, and they're unable to perform or unable to move on because they are taken back to their childhood. So I think we also need to just be sensitized, everyone involved in supporting the elite athletes, that they are human beings, that they actually need to go for their own personal journey of growth. Because I always say the lessons that athletes gain from being an athlete should not just be about the sport. It should actually be lifelong lessons. Mm. And I always bring my examples in it, that the things I learned as a 400-meter athlete, as a high school student, and a provincial athlete, I take and I use them to date. Because, you know, it's not just about the sport. So there's a bigger picture at play.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Van Heerden, I mean, you are working with, you know, the players there at the Sharks. From what you are able to pick up, is the pressure coming more from the coaches, from the sponsors, or is it coming more from the fans?
No, it's a great question. And this is probably not just about the Sharks. It's certainly all the athletes that I work with. It's everything, you should say. And on top of that, at the moment, I know we always speak about it and people are probably tired of speaking about it, but COVID has had a real impact on athletes. Mm. There's been really an increase in struggles in mental health, you know, over the past year or two. And I think we also have to understand that the athlete themselves, the personality of the athlete, they're often like perfectionist, you know, hard driven, you know, want to do the best, highly competent in what they're doing. They put enough pressure on themselves, you know, to forget about anybody else.
Yeah.
So I think the pressure is often internal. They want to perform really well. But then, of course, as I said earlier, this very public nature of what you do, you know, you're going to be splashed in the front page of the newspaper, whatever, you know, if you make a mistake or if you win. So I agree, though, that we do need to sensitize people, you know, the way that you speak to athletes. But yeah, I think the pressure's all around, and that's the real challenge when working with players, is how do we help them manage themselves, their own expectations, the fact that you're getting paid to do this is your job. You know, there are expectations from the public, like it or not. You know, no one wants to go and watch, you know, a losing side or, you know, like it's the, so there are pressures from all different areas. And I think this is the work of a psychologist that is interested in working with athletes. Yeah. How do we help you manage all of these different areas?
Oh, yeah, indeed. It's 11:30. Let's get the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. When we come back, I'm going to go to your calls on 011-883-0702 as we continue this conversation. Your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702. Is enough being done to prioritize athletes' mental health? And not only when it comes to these teams, the coaches, the organizations, but you as a fan, what do you think we can do to let these sports stars, these sports women and men know that we support you? Yes, we will criticize you. We'll point out where the wrongs are, but we support you. And if you lose and you've given it your all, we're not going to be brutal and mean, even on social media. I'll take your input after the headline. All right, 22 before 12 now. What we're going to do is continue our conversation shortly with Dr. Debbie Alexandra, Dr. Kirsten van Heerden. We also have Dr. Kidumetsi Mashiro. What I want to do also is bring in some of the sports people, right, so they can tell us how they've dealt with their pressures. But before we do, let me play a voice note that's come on 072-702-1702.
Morning, Clem. Great show. Regarding athletes and mental health, I believe that between your coach, your manager, and your family members, all of those people have a responsibility to help you protect your peace. And protecting your peace includes keeping away from social media. It includes, because some family members, some friends or so-called friends, will sometimes send you a screenshot on some, look what this idiot is saying about you, thinking they're doing you a favor, when in fact maybe what they're doing is actually upsetting your equilibrium and not helping you protect your own mental health, not helping you protect your peace. I remember when I was in my matric year, I played first team softball, and my coach, knowing that I wear my heart on my sleeve, before a big match would always beg me, please don't spend time with your girlfriend in case you guys have a fight or an argument, because I need you mentally fit. And it actually worked wonders how my isolating myself, even at that level of sport, my isolating myself from anything that could either upset me or destabilize me or decamp me, as it were, it works. So I think athletes need to fight to protect their peace, and the people around them also have that responsibility.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let me bring in Michael Pretorius, who is the provincial cricket, who's with the provincial cricket in South Africa, for the Free State. Michael, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
How do you handle the pressure as an athlete?
Yes, I think I'm very lucky where we have a sports psychologist that work with us, and you know, they make it a bit easier to plan your stuff. I think it's important for sport people to also plan your weeks forward and stuff, so you make sure that everything doesn't feel like it's falling onto you at once. So that's definitely an important thing for me. And it helps to talk to people about things that bother you. Just in the general life, stuff also gets to sport people, and sometimes they let that get onto the park, and I think it's a good thing to talk about it.
Absolutely. I also have Junior Kanye, who is a former soccer star. Junior, thank you for also joining us. Good morning. What kind of pressures did you face as a soccer star, and how did you deal with them? Was there space to be vulnerable and say, "Hey, Gunzima, I'm really finding it hard here"?
Yeah, first of all, I have to thank you, Pra, for the platform. And you know, thank every platform I get, because UNESCO is the only group that has been given a chance. Thank God and my ancestors as well. Yeah, very, very hard, Pra. Gunzima ga khulu ngoba. Remember, Mawfeti standard. Money to set the standards. Once you have a contract to professional side, or set the standard, many, many people that are looking up to you. Yabo? Some abandon is easy, not only abandon abandon. Because Uchi, remember the platform, Unkumunta Bugela, Unkumunta Funda Nawe, Mamilema Radio everywhere, TV. So, Muntu and Zumzabai Zumzagelo Nawe, even if things are not going well. Especially maintain a year difficult to climb up on the maintain and do the makakul. So, coughing they mean because sometimes we take wrong women's weapons by end of a phase, because of the situation here, this was currently. Whereby when it wonders, when the Mukshai researcher and Dabak Tanda, so, if pressure by Ningakul, the Nabani member of him they once it does not be that. Some about Tiba Kulmuti, the Latopin and of course. both your pedal up. So I'm going to punch you the bunch. So the pressure is very, very deep and profound, especially spiritual.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Thank you for sharing that with us. And Junior is just underscoring what we've reflected on, in that regardless of what's going on in your life, you're expected to perform at your best, right? And sometimes it's difficult to even be vulnerable and explain that this is what I'm going through. Dr. Van Heerden, is that why sometimes we've got these sports stars getting into drugs, you know, substance abuse? Because, you know, at some point, you need to somehow find a way to deal with this, and you think this is the way to deal with it?
Yeah, look, I think we need to be careful about saying that's the reason that they get into drugs or alcohol, but for sure it can be a contributing factor. I mean, we know a lot of times drugs and alcohol can be used as a coping mechanism by everyone, you know, not just for for athletes. But, you know, as we've spoken about, when you feel maybe that you can't speak up, you can't reach out for help, often, yeah, drugs and alcohol are kind of the easy option. But I do think that there are lots of contributing factors to that as well. And sometimes even things like alcohol is just part of a, you know, a drinking culture within sport, you know, certain sports. Or, you know, once you've finished, you know, your race or the Olympic Games, and we know athletes like to go out and party. So, yeah, there can sometimes be, as I say, in the sporting culture itself, it can lend itself to particularly drinking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I say often it's the coping mechanism, you're right.
Yeah. Dr. Alexandra, let's look at the solutions now. What can be done? Yes, some of the clubs have psychologists. Michael mentioned that they do have one. But what more can be done to try and ensure that we prioritize the athletes' mental health, and we create a space where they can also be vulnerable and honest about their mental health?
Thank you. I want to say something to the athletes, and then I'll add on to what can be done.
Yeah.
So for me, I want to, and Kirsten said it, I want athletes to understand, and the public to understand, that athletes are human beings. Sport is what they do, not who they are. And as human beings, they are allowed to make mistakes and fail, because sometimes it's so valuable to make a mistake, because you do more learning from the mistake than you do from winning. Then I want to say kindness, compassion, non-judgment to yourself as an athlete, and also us giving that to the athlete. That will go a long way to alleviating the pressure. And then I want to say, for teams, vulnerability in a team is crucial, because it helps to build trust. If we can, in a team, be vulnerable with each other, not putting all our stuff out on the table, but just being human, it goes a long way to building the foundation and of a functional team. So that is all important stuff. Vulnerability is not bad. Then what can we do? What are we already doing? So from a SASCOC perspective, 2009, we put this team together. There are over 50, I think about 50 psychologists on the list, around the 9 provinces, who have put up their hands to say, I'm willing to assist, and different languages, different cultures, I'm willing to assist if it's pro bono or if it's at a reduced fee. So that's there in place. We're trying to link psychologists with the different federations so that athletes also know that that's available. Then athletes need to know that some of them that are at university, all the university departments have psychological support. Or they can go to the nearest clinic. Or there's the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, Mental Health Information Center, Childline, the Trauma Center, the Tears Foundation. Lots of resources that they can tap into. And just to say that it's not being weak to be vulnerable.
In fact,
all of us.
In fact, it's a sign of strength. Dr. Mashego, from your side, what do you think we can double up on in terms of our efforts? I often wonder if there's even a clause in the contract that allows these athletes to take leave due to mental health?
I think, just supporting what the two panelists have said, that we need to promote this vulnerability and reduce the stigma around seeking help and being vulnerable. And, you know, the caller now, that the former athlete, the former soccer player, sorry, I forgot his name now. I think he also brought up a good point that family and friends put them under pressure, and therefore they're not necessarily always there for the support that the athlete needs when they are elite. So it's also very important to note that, you know, people come from different circumstances. And when you come from a place where you don't have support from family, that's when you actually need to prioritize your own mental health and seek objective professionals like, you know, ourselves, the sports psychologists, for this help. Because sometimes the family depends on you for finances. The family does not understand when you do not perform. So it is very important to understand that if I do not have the support from the people who are supposed to support me for whatever reason, that actually there's objective help that I can get. The support that I need. And there is free services, there's different resources, you know, there's people out there. So, but I think just as a society, we need to promote people seeking help. We need to promote vulnerability. Mm-hmm. We need to reduce the stigma around seeking help. And for the athletes themselves, that to understand that they're humans. They come into this workplace with their own baggage, with their own childhood traumas, with their own vulnerabilities and stresses and personalities, that it is okay to actually seek help for yourself, for your journey, so that you perform. And to the managers and the teams and the coaches also, I think they also need to be part of, you know, the program in ensuring that athletes are supported, that they also need to themselves understand that we're dealing with human beings here, that they can be triggered by certain things because they're not the same.
Yeah.
And for me, and to also just continually support the coaches and the managers as well, because some of them, you know, do not prioritize the mental health of themselves and of the So I think generally as a society, we all need to see psychologists.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's 9 minutes before 12.
Maniatella.
7:02. Let's walk the talk.
All right. It's 7 minutes before 12 o'clock. We're having a conversation about the mental health for athletes. We've heard from a current athlete, Michael. We've heard from junior Kanye, who is a former soccer star. And my guests here have been talking about how important this is. Neba on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, I wanted to actually ask if it's possible for athletes' agents to also have psychologists for their clients, because they are also a priority as they brought their business to the agency. Maybe as an agent, you must also protect your clients. And Dr. Van den Heerden, could that be the way? Because, you know, sometimes, yes, people will have, you know, mental, you know, health issues, but they're not taking the proactive steps. So as an agent, you know, maybe you can take it upon yourself. Yeah. And I don't know how that can be negotiated with your clients to say, yo, you've got to have, you know, proper healthy, you know, be healthy mentally, and therefore let's go for this.
No, absolutely. And I think, as I said before, there's everyone that works in sport needs to be aware of this, and say the players associations, like my players, SACA, and the, you know, committees like SASCOC, are certainly leading the way in this and making sure that this is a topic of conversation. But for example, agents, I say all of us that work with athletes have a duty of care, whether you're a coach or an agent or a sponsor. And, you know, I do think that there's a role. I work with a new agency, and, you know, certainly my business partner, who's a sports agent, one of the reasons we decided to work together was how do we holistically manage athletes? Because we, otherwise they're just treated as commodities. And I think that's also something as a sports psych or, you know, psychologist working in sport, to know that these athletes are not commodities, and we have to make sure that we're looking at their well-being.
Absolutely. Here's a WhatsApp voice note.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Clement. I just wanted to ask from your guest there how the nerves can affect the brain or the mental health of a player. As a chess coach, a junior chess coach, I can see that my player is fit, my player is ready for the game, my player is ready to play. But as soon as he sits on the desk and face the opponent, and then the nerves start to kick in and the performance start to go down, how does the nerves affect the mental health of a player? Thank you.
Dr. Mashego, we've got just 10 seconds. If you can respond to that, please.
All right. Anxiety is something that can hamper performance, because when someone is anxious, they are unable to have clarity of thought or clarity in whatever it is they might be skilled in doing. So anxiety is one of the things actually that I see a lot of athletes come in. So on their own, they're great, but when they must compete, the anxiety just is at a level where it's unbearable, that it actually hampers their performance. Mm. So that's why then it's important to work with the athlete to just look at the root cause of the anxiety and also get them to have coping strategies with that anxiety so that they can perform to the best of their ability. Because competition, the pressure, the stress, and being in that moment will sometimes, and some most athletes, trigger the anxiety, and sometimes it becomes unbearable and it manifests in the way they perform. Hence, they don't perform as they would in the training or in practice.
Yeah. Dr. Mashego, thank you for making time. Dr. Alexandra and Dr. van der Heerden, I appreciate your time this morning.